Welcome to the Insane Asylum.
Welcome back to the Insane Asylum. This is the Night Living Dreads podcast. The podcast covers all and anything horror. I am Otis B. Dreads, and I have Mrs. Dreads riding shotgun. And, I'm flying by the seat of my pants on this one there, Mrs. Dreads.
I would say so.
Yeah, I'm really, hanging by a thread here. And the reason is actually, you know, there would have been a lot really to talk about. We had a serial killer duo that we were going to discuss. And, I kind of backed out of that idea at the last moment. Didn't have a whole lot on them. So I decided... Probably wasn't the best idea, but I decided to take and talk some movie. We went and seen Annabelle.
Why I seen Annabelle?
Oh, here we go. Well, see, and let me explain. But before we get into that, this is almost like a episode 32 because this is episode 33. It's kind of like episode 32 part 2. Because we're going to be talking some movies. There's some Three from Hell, Rob Zombie updates, an announcement he gave either today or yesterday or a few days ago concerning, again, Three from Hell. Possibly a release date. But before we get into all that, got to give out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. The best damn horror group on Facebook. You can find myself, Otis B. Dreads, as well as Mrs. Dreads over there. But you don't go by Mrs. Dreads, do you?
No.
You go by Bitch Face, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you have a resting bitch face.
Okay.
No, you go by Jody. And, we're over there, Gorehounds of Horror, Misfit Horror Fiend Club. Another, probably a close runner-up with Gorehounds, but After Dark... The horror Facebook group that lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps watch parties, which is cool. I dig it. And also, your non-horror group, Cannabis Arcade, Cannabis with a K, and of course, yours truly, and Mrs. Dreads, Night of Living Dreads, No A in Dreads, Night of Living Dreads, over there on Facebook as well as nightlivingdreads.com. So, we are going to talk a few movies. Yes, me and Mrs. Dreads and our oldest daughter went to go see Annabelle. Now, I got to set this up a little bit because I've been getting a little shit about this. I was really excited to see this movie. You know, we kind of did a little dinner thing, went and ate some dinner. And then, checked out a movie. Now, up to Friday, I'd put in about 50 hours this week. I was a little exhausted. Yes, you can roll your eyes. See, there she goes. If you could only see this, folks. I was a little tired. Had a few beers at the shop after work, after a long week. And, of course... We are fans of the Mary Jane here in the Insane Asylum, so there was a lot of that being consumed. Needless to say, we get to the theater, and, I was, as Eric Foreman in that 70s show said, Mother, I am not feeling well. meaning I was, you know, on the verge of falling asleep, and that actually did happen. I hate to say it, but I dozed on and off enough to where I couldn't even tell you about any of the details of Annabelle. You, on the other hand, could probably give a little bit better review than I can, because basically what I saw was a 3-minute trailer. Because everything else is a fucking blur. But hey, you know, that's how it goes. You know, I was tired, and I underestimated the power of my oil. And yeah, it kind of grabbed me by the boo-boo.
Yeah.
And said nighty-night, Otis. Yeah. Sweet dreams, and we'll see you here in an hour and a half. And but how was it? How was the movie?
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was kind of slow in the beginning.
It was, and I think that's what made me a little sleepy. But I mean, I liked what I saw.
But it got better.
And I was asleep during that part.
And we heard those some reviews saying that it's one of the best of the Conjuring series.
I disagree from what I saw, but, you know, then again, I didn't probably see enough of it to...
Maybe of the actual Annabelle movies, it may be one of the better ones, but to say it's the best of the whole Conjuring series...
Of the whole franchise, right, yeah.
Then I disagree
with
that.
But it had you know, it was your typical Conjuring style, Annabelle haunted doll style movie.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't really anything of a surprise.
I don't want to give anything away in this one.
Right. Yeah. It just came out the 26th. So it was just this past week. So, yeah, we're not going to get... I couldn't possibly give any spoilers. As a matter of fact, if you were to spoil... You may spoil it for me as well, and I was there.
it is a good movie.
If you dig the...
It has some scares.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do remember, you know, some of that, you know, but it was kind of slow from what I, you know, remember.
But most of them kind of are. I mean, the first one wasn't so much. I think there was some... I mean, first one started out with a murder scene.
Right.
But, yeah, it's...
It's not bad.
It's not a bad movie at all.
I'd probably like to actually see it again for the first time. Annabelle, Annabelle comes home. And Otis went to sleep.
Yeah.
But that is...
Ate himself to death. That's what he did.
I would.
He'd wake up and eat.
I would just, you know, I'd doze off, and I remember being woken up by a fire alarm that went off in the movie.
Right.
And it reminded me of, like, an alarm clock. And boom, I woke up and just started shoving fucking popcorn in my face and, you know, candy and whatnot. And then boom, right back out. But then again, the theater was hot as balls. Yeah. It was kind of uncomfortable.
I didn't think it was that bad, but...
Well, to me it was. And, I mean, it's like 198,000 degrees outside, and it felt like they, you know, had the fucking heat on in there. I mean, and the theater wasn't even really that crowded, but yeah, it is what it is. And they had them big loungers, so that did not fucking help.
Right.
When you can kick back in one of those loungers, I mean, you're just, you know, begging.
Paige said next time we need to go to Regal, so you can't relax.
So I can't relax. Yeah, right. Yeah, I have to go to one of those old, you know, the older theaters where they just have the regular fucking seats, and I can't kick back, and I'm uncomfortable. And
and then we were talking about if you would add your mouth there, would throw a popcorn in it, and...
God.
I said he'd probably choke to death. And I said, better yet, I said he'd probably wake up thinking he fell asleep with a handful of popcorn in his mouth.
Probably. At one point, I was getting popcorn thrown at me by my daughter. But, hey, that's just how we roll here in the Dreads family. But, it wasn't a bad, you know, flick. Again, what I remember, what I was awake through. But speaking of Otis, there has been some news concerning Three from Hell. this, the hell is today's date anyway?
The 30th.
Today is the 30th. So this came out 2 days ago over there at dreadcentral.com. Talking about how Zombie said that they got some, you know, big news concerning Three from Hell. And he says on his, I guess this is Twitter or Instagram. It looks like Twitter. Attention, attention. On Monday, stay tuned for news on how you can be a part of a special event and be the first folks to see Three from Hell. Now, and then he says, it's on. Now, he also did this with 31.
Right.
Where, you know, me and you, we went and seen 31. And it was a special screening. Came out like a month before. Selected theaters across the nation or whatnot. And so I'm thinking that's what he's talking about. But, you know, it's some speculation that there's a release date, because this is a highly anticipated movie.
Right.
And yet there's been no fucking release date. There's been a trailer out there. You know, it's done, but he hasn't told anybody when the fuck it's coming out.
Right.
But what I find funny is, I just sitting here looking at this article, is the picture that he uses, for this Twitter, I guess, is Twitter or Instagram? I don't know. I'm not a tweeter. I'm not an Instagrammer. but do you know Captain Spaulding's real name in the movie?
Oh,
do you know
God.
What his character's real name is? No. It's not Cutter. That was you know, probably a code name or whatever.
No.
But it shows in here, because it shows their mugshots.
Right.
Okay. His name is Johnny Lee Johns. That is on, which I will turn the laptop around so you can see that. And baby is Vera Ellen.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, Otis is Otis Driftwood. So there's a little something that we didn't know, you know, going by the other movies. So tomorrow, because it is Sunday that we do put out the Night Living Joys podcast, tomorrow, possibly find out about a release day, find out about advanced screenings, and you bet your sweet ass this Otis will be there.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, huh? God. 31 I almost fell asleep during. I was tired. I was taking a really strong nerve blocker for you know, some, you know, nerve pain.
There's always an excuse.
No. I tell you to sit there and be quiet, but that would not fare well for the podcast. So hopefully, I think that's what it is. You know, we got a band screening. Hopefully a release date. It was speculated possibly around Halloween. And then it was just stated, you know, maybe early this fall or whatnot. One movie that we just watched, but actually, let me back the truck up. Because there are, you know, Mrs. Dredge, it seems like this year, this summer, there is an overabundance of horror movies coming out. I mean, more than previous years, recent years, it seems like. It seems like every month or every couple months, there's a new horror movie. This is a really good year, I think, to be a horror fan. one of them that we talked about, that we just mentioned, that being Annabelle, that's one. Now, I'm got an article here from Cinema Blend, going through some of the summer's biggest horror movies. And again, one of them, Annabelle Comes Home, which we just mentioned, that opened the 26th. Another one that looks kind of cool, but I'm not really sure.
What?
And that would be, I guess you would pronounce it Midsommar? Midsommar? Somar? S-O-M-M-A-R. I'm not exactly sure. Writer director Ari Aster says here, used darkness as his ally in last year's horror smash Hereditary. It's a fact that makes his latest film, Midsommar, all the more entertaining in its decision to keep a lot of its action set in the broad daylight of rural Sweden. Now, apparently, you know, there, you know, they, you watch the trailer, and they talk about, you know, well, why is it dark? It's like, you know, fucking in the afternoon. Well, you got 9 months of that, or so many X amount of months, or X amount of weeks of that, and looks kind of weird. It's almost like it's got like a secret society kind of shit going on. It says as Florence Pugh and Jack Rayner's central couple need to seriously consider where their relationship is going. Midsommar seems to be throwing them into a situation so nightmarish, they might not even get a chance to kiss and make up. Aw. From the looks of it, they may not even get a chance to walk away alive. So, that opens the third. That opens this week. That would be Wednesday, I believe. Here's one that I hadn't heard of. This one is called Crawl. And just to give a little brief, so it's kind of like Jaws, but with fucking alligators. Okay. Nature is one of the cruelest, most devastating forces that humanity could ever square off against. Yet time and time again, we see some scrappy humans pitted against those very obstacles in the name of nail-biting entertainment. That's exactly what director Andre Aja's Crawl will do, as it shows a father and daughter trying to survive both a Category 5 hurricane and a pack of angry alligators. See you later, alligator. You're supposed to say after a while. All right. And so that comes out the 12th of July. Then we have, and this is one that this is another one that I'm looking forward to, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And this one states that while most of the movies on this list are going to be R-rated affairs for more mature audience members, that doesn't mean that young adults will go wanting when it comes to the horror genre, based on Alvin Schwartz's classic series of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Several of the stories from the infamous series of books with that same name are about to jump onto the big screen. So it's kind of like a, what I'm getting is a, maybe a Tales from the Crypt type deal. It's kind of what it sounds like to me. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's coming the 9th of August. And then we have 47 Meters Down, Uncaged. Again, it's like Jaws on steroids.
There's already one of those.
Yeah, there is. What was it called?
Well, they have
Meg.
But I think there's a 47 meters below.
Yes, this is like part two, right. In this one, the claustrophobic thrills will see a new batch of protagonists sparring with his deadly species of sea predator in a brand new setting. Amidst the underwater network of caves, which is weird. That would kind of freak me out a little bit. You ever been cave exploring?
No.
No? They call it spelunking or something.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun, but you can't really be claustrophobic, and yeah, you don't really want to think too much about what you're doing, otherwise you'll fucking freak yourself out. There are some great finned beasts just waiting for snacks to wander into their domain. If you thought being locked in a cage in open water was bad enough, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged is the movie that will ask you to hold its sea breeze whatever that means, while it shows you its next shocking trick. That comes out August 16th. Ready or Not is the next one on the list here. This one states that marriage is a frightening prospect for some. You would know, wouldn't you, Jody? And as the institution seems to carry the connotation that through its elaborate rituals, pomp, and circumstance, a person loses their freedom. Isn't that what men have been joking about the whole time? For years and just eons?
Right.
You put a ring on your finger, you lose your freedom, now you're trapped. That sort of thought makes for great dramatic and comedic storytelling. But in Ready or Not, it takes the best of both worlds and crossbreeds them into a story with a twisted sense of humor. Sounds pretty cool to me. I think the basis of that, it was all, it's almost like the guy takes his girlfriend. I did watch the trailer on this one. He takes his girlfriend. They're getting ready to get married and whatnot. And he takes his fiance to, I think, his family or something. Mm-hmm. And they're just all twisted. And it's like a hide-and-seek game.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
they showed the trailer of that.
Yes, yeah.
We went and seen Annabelle.
Right. It's like a hide-and-seek kind of game.
Yeah, it is pretty funny, though.
But it does look, yeah, comedic. That hits the theaters August 23rd. And then another one I'm really looking forward to, It Chapter 2. I don't think I really need to talk a whole lot about that one.
It comes out in September.
Comes out September 6th. Yes, it does. And that actually concludes that list. Which one are you most looking
probably
for?
It.
Yeah, I mean, out of this list, yes, because I am looking forward to...
Or Three from Hell, too.
Three from Hell, of course, yeah. But I think out of that list, I'm probably most excited for It, Chapter 2. That one just looks creepy.
Yep.
I think you stated last week's podcast. It makes
with
you kinda,
naked lady.
Yeah, it makes you kind of scared of old naked ladies running at you. Just creeps you out, yeah. You got newfound fear.
Would you want to be attacked by an old naked lady?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that depends. I mean, how old?
Oh, she's pretty ancient.
she was bad, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty creepy. So, one movie that we are going to talk about a little bit, in a little bit of detail, has been out, and we went out and got some new horror swag, some new t-shirts, got me a new Michael Myers little toy.
Yeah. Barbie doll.
Yeah. What? Did you say fucking Barbie doll? I don't play with Barbies. I
oh,
cut
he's
their
an
heads
figure.
Off. No. Action figure. But we got the Jason up there, we got the Freddy, we got the Leatherface. Now we got the Michael. It's like the big four.
It's hard to find him.
Huh?
It's hard to find
him. It is hard to find. I even said something looking for some Myers swag. And I even asked the woman. I was like, where's all your Michael Myers stuff at? And she's like, well, don't really. I was like, why do people hate Myers so much? I mean, what's the deal? It's like nobody likes Myers. She was like, it does kind of seem that way. There's plenty of Freddy Krueger shit. There's plenty of Mama's Boy Jason. There's plenty of his shit around. There's not a whole lot of Michael Myers. So as soon as I see Myers, I snatch it up. Snatch it up. But we're going to talk about a movie that... we bought, and we just watched right before recording this, and I was pleasantly pleased with it. That would be the movie Us, the new Jordan Peele movie. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but we are going to take a little bit of a break and gather our fucking senses. And another movie that I got is I love going to this place in the local mall here called FYE for your entertainment, and you can get. DVDs that, $6, $7, maybe $10, and they got five fucking movies in them. And I got one here. This one is, you know, all from the 60s. We got the two faces of Dr. Jekyll, Scream of Fear, The Gorgon, The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, and Stop Me Before I Kill. So we got five more movies that, you know, we're not going to watch tonight, but to check out, all from the 60s. You're kind of a fan of the older horror movies.
I like the older horror movies.
Yeah.
I like all horror, but...
Some of the older ones, I mean, if you get in like the 70s, they seem to be a little more raw.
Yeah.
And then you go too far back, and they just seem to be overacting.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's the scary part.
Uh-huh.
That's the horror part of it.
The overacting. Yeah, some of the acting is rather horrifying. So, we're going to talk about Us after we take a little break. I got to get something else to drink here, and... we're going to gather our thoughts because we're going to grade Us. And, you know, hey, we're going to talk about it. So if you haven't seen it, yep, we may share some spoilers here. But it's been out for a little while now. Maybe about a couple months, maybe?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out on DVD
now. Well, right. It just came out not that long ago, I think, on DVD, Blu-ray. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. That was, it kind of had a really cool concept to it. And we're going to get our grade for it. So we're going to take a quick little break. We just started. We're already taking a break. We're taking a mandatory union. stick around. We're going to talk about the movie Us when we come back after this little musical interlude. So stay tuned. Night Living Dreads podcast, nightlivingdreads.com. We'll be right back.
A great deal of my thoughts were basically unshareable with anyone. So I just closed myself off and put on a mask of normalcy, normalcy, normalcy.
I feel
in the Insane Asylum Night Living Dreads podcast. A little bit of one of my favorites. Some Rob Zombie, Medication for the Melancholy. And then that last one was actually the theme. They call it the anthem of the movie we are going to discuss right now. That being Jordan Peele's latest little horror film. That being Us. It is a strange movie to say the least, but I liked it.
I did too.
I didn't understand it. So, you know, I kind of joked before we started recording that, you know, we were going to talk about, you know, Annabelle and Us, and one I fell asleep through and the other one I don't understand. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying I'm flying by the seat of my fucking pants right now. because, well, I guess it makes it kind of difficult to give a review on a movie that one you slept through or another one that you didn't really understand all that much. But Us, I don't even know how to describe this. First of all, their theme music, what you just heard after the Rob Zombie ditty, was, I think, creepy as hell. It reminds me a lot of Children of the Corn, which I have made known on the podcast here that movie scared the living shit out of me and freaked me out as a kid. Still does. And another movie that has a similar theme like that would be The Omen.
Yeah.
That shit is creepy to me. I don't know what it is. Do you find that theme a little creepy? I don't know what it is. It's almost like a church choir kind of thing, but it just has a really weird element to it. I don't know. Does that freak you out?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Oh, you're a big girl. But first of all, just in general, what'd you think about it?
I liked it. Well, it was a good movie. It was different than probably any other horror movie I've seen.
It's got a cool concept.
Yeah.
But that is part of what I didn't understand.
Right.
It's almost like, because they say that everybody's got a doppelganger. There's somebody in the world that looks just like you. I'm sorry. There's somebody else that looks like me. Jesus. But... And, you know, that's what they say. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. And this comes to light in this movie. And right. It's not just this one family who has these evil doppelgangers that, you know, are trying to fucking kill them.
It's everybody.
Everyone. And then you have Hands Across America. Anybody remember that? Hands Across America. You remember that from the 80s?
Yeah.
That's spotlighted in this movie. It's just a really strange movie. Mm-hmm. It's not slow. I thought the acting was really, really good.
Yeah.
There was a couple young actors and actresses in there playing the kids and whatnot. They did an excellent job.
Yeah, it's just if you don't watch it, like, your eye focused on exactly. It, you're going to miss stuff and you're not going to understand.
Exactly, yeah. This is one that you can't really walk away from and then come back 5 minutes later. You really got to pay attention to this one. So here's the thing. And what I liked about it was the fact that there was a scene in the movie where the father's doppelganger, they're fighting, you know, they're on a boat, you know, out in this lake and whatnot, and he ends up, you know, I don't know if he just came up with this, you know, idea that, hey, if I hurt myself, it will hurt this person, which is kind of how it seemed. And I was right, it played out later on with the son of this family. The guy smashes his head in his own head into the side of the boat, which in turn knocks his evil doppelganger off of him. So I'm starting to think at this point, okay, the only way they're going to get rid of these fucks is that maybe they kill themselves.
But that's not the case.
But that is not the case. So I'm like, okay, how are they going to, you know, get away from this? And it takes a rather weird turn to where you have these hands across America type shit. I don't know. It was weird, but I was pleasantly pleased with this one.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I think it was one of those movies where, you know, you watch these trailers, and this has happened with us here lately. I thought the Child's Play trailer looked pretty good till I seen that fucking shit, and I was not very pleased with it, with Child's Play. We discussed that. If you missed that little rant, that's on last week's episode. But you know, there are some movies that the best parts of the movie is what you see in a 2.5 minute trailer. That was not the case with this one. The trailer was intriguing, and the movie played up to it. I wasn't disappointed. My hopes weren't all high, thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a great movie, and then I'm let down, which, more times out of not, that's the case. I'm just a hard one, I guess, to please when it comes to movies. I don't know. So, what was some of your favorite parts in this movie? Because there wasn't really
a whole lot of way, but
yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot of gore. There were some pretty violent scenes,
yeah.
not gory, but violent and shit that make you go, oh damn.
Yeah.
But I mean, did you have any favorite parts of the movie?
I'm thinking.
Oh, we ain't got that much time. Here's one thing I did like, and I get, okay, because I think what Jordan Peele was really trying to do, and we heard a little bit of interviews with the actors and with Jordan Peele himself on some of the, you know, bonus features after the movie, where it was weird because, you know, normally you'll have, you know, a lot of these horror movies, though, they'll play if you have a family like what's in this movie. Usually, you know, it's the dad, the man of the family is, you know, one of the ones that's, you know, the brave one. And it's not so much the case in this one.
No.
The dad in the family is, he's kind of comedic. He's a little bit on the funny side, and he's kind of a pussy, to be honest with you.
I mean, he gets his kills.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he gets one or two, you know, but, you know, he kind of plays that, you know, when shit starts to hit the fan, he tucks his tail between his fucking legs. And it's his wife, because his wife is the one that actually experiences, you know, this whole doppelganger thing as a child.
Right.
What was it? A house of mirrors?
Like a fun house.
Like a fun house type deal. And on the sign it says, find yourself, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, well, she does, but it's, you know, it's... So, it's got a lot of, you know, little twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
I was, again, pleased with it. What kind of grade would you give this one?
I'd never say I'd probably give it an A.
An A? A flat A, really?
Flat A.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to go a B plus. I don't know about an A. I thought that one of the things I felt that it kind of drug on.
And towards the end, it
towards
did.
The end. I mean, it was quick to get into the plot, into the story from the get go of the movie. And then, you know, little by little, you start learning more and more and more, which is cool that it all doesn't come out at one time. It kind of keeps you, you know, wanting to know more. But it's like, is this over yet? I mean, why is it taking so long? And a lot of weird shit. It almost, to me, had like almost a Stephen King feel to it.
Mm.
To me, just because it was just weird. It's like, One minute, you know, you're in this, you go to, you know, she's in this fun house, and it's towards, you know, the end, and then, you know, she goes down this escalator, and now she's in this long hallway, and there's fucking rabbits running around, and, you know, I understand that, the, you know.
I mean, there's stuff throughout the movie that explains.
That explains that, so, you know, I get that, you know, it was just weird. I don't know. So I give it B+. You gave it an A, just a flat A, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Well, you have to speak up. So I recommend it. Again, I mean I hadn't seen it. We didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters. But digging the DVD, took a chance on that, wasn't disappointed. Another movie before, you know, we get out of here. One movie that I would like to briefly discuss is The Curse of La Llorona, which is actually, you know, I thought was, again, one of those movies that you watch the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, damn, that looks creepy and scary as shit.
It's a good movie.
And it was all that, you know, the trailer, you know, portrayed. It didn't overly hype it up. And the thing with The Curse of La Llorona is it's actually based on a Mexican folklore.
Right.
And that being, the weeping woman. And this folklore... Yeah, this folklore goes as the cry is one of Mexico's most famous oral legends. The lore states a woman was abandoned by her husband and was left alone to raise her two sons, whom she instead drowned in a river out of grief and anger. As a result of her actions, the woman is condemned to wander for all eternity until she finds the bodies of her children, often causing misfortune to those who are near or hear her cry. The oral story represents La Llorona as a person, legend, ghost, goddess, metaphor, and symbol. So it's a pretty cool
movie.
Yeah, it was. That is another one. Well, shit, we might as well grade that one. What would you give that one?
I'd probably give that one an A too.
I would definitely give that one an A. Just a regular flat A, you know. I thought it was kind of cool.
And it is well known that it is, because I've said stuff, but
mm-hmm.
It is well known that it is off the Conjuring series, that it is...
Yes.
It's based around that same, because, I mean, there's...
The priest.
You'll see little things in the movie that go back to that.
Right.
I think they talk about Ed and Lorraine.
You even see the Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
Is actually slightly featured in kind of a flashback
from the priest.
From the priest. It's the same priest that was in the Annabelle movie. One of the other Annabelle movies.
Is also in
this one. Right. And he goes back, like, you know, they talking to the mother, I believe. You know, he brings up the fact that, yeah, you know, he's dealt with evil and blah, blah, blah. And it flashes back to him actually removing Annabelle out of, you know, a particular residence or mm-hmm. whatnot, which is in one. So that's kind of a weird little connection there, too.
Right.
Because I really don't understand how, other than it being the same priest, what else, you know, I mean.
I just think that.
I don't remember.
Produced or directed by.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about Ed and Lorraine Warren in that one.
I thought they were mentioned. They might not have been.
They could have been, but I mean, for fuck's sake, they show this same priest in La Llorona, you know, they flash back to one of the Annabelle movies where he's got the doll. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah. Funny story. A couple of weeks ago, we went and decided we were going to up our horror collection a little bit. You know where I'm going with this one. And
it's been longer than a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. But I walk in there and you know, to FYE, where, you know, we usually go and pick out our horror movies and whatnot. And I see. The Curse of La Llorona.
Mind you, I didn't have anything to do with this.
Oh, you had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I do, because it was a dumb movie.
So, we get Salem's Lot, which was a home run, of course. Already knew that one. The original. And I pick up La Llorona, and I'm like, wow, man, this is already out on DVD. I was like, you know, because it had, we wanted to go see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it had only been out just a couple weeks at that time, and it was already out of the fucking theater.
Right.
So I'm like, well, hell, if it's already out of the theater, maybe we can find a DVD. We go, and I see, oh, here it is. It looks just like the regular case.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even bother to look at the date on it or anything. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. Take it home. It was like a homemade, fan-made fucking movie. It was the most dreadful fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
We could have made a better movie here at 9/11 Dreads.
From like, what, 1997 or something?
Yeah.
Or further back.
Right. So I've been getting a lot of shit for that one, but I did. We did get a chance to see the actual La Llorona, and it's a good one. It's a good one. So that's going to about do it for Mrs. Dreads and myself. Episode 33 in the bag. I hear the keys, the orderlies, the doctors are coming in. It's time to get the fuck out of here. They're taking us back to our cell, Mrs. Dreads. And I know it's kind of a second week in a row. We did some, you know, movie reviews, but I've been extremely busy. Mrs. Dreads have been extremely busy. So we thought, what better way than just to, you know, relax, watch some horror movies, and then talk to you good horror freaks about them. But I promise you, next week we're going to be talking some serial killers. Hopefully another horror movie. We got some new ones coming out next week, too. Which one did I say was coming out next week?
I don't even know.
I don't remember. But that's coming out next, the 3rd.
That was
midsummer.
Yeah, I think so.
Summer or somewhere, whatever it is. So yeah, maybe we'll have a review on some of the newer movies coming out. I want to thank everyone for listening. And a quick note: being the weather is nice, and I've mentioned this before, Mrs. Dreads and myself, along with some fellow horror fans, some friends of ours, close dear friends of ours, we like to go ghost hunting. I want to know some places that you, the listeners, have gone. Throw some haunted places that you would suggest, whether in your area or places wherever that you've been to, that you'd like to go to, that you've heard of, or just places with good good story behind it. Because I think we're going to start talking about some of these places. Waverly Hills in Kentucky is probably on our list to be the next place to go to. Very cool place. Well, I haven't been there, but it looks like it'd be very cool to hang out for a night and see if we can catch some fucking ghosts. So on that note, thank you guys for listening. 9/11dreads.com. You can find this podcast as well as all the other ones. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
And we'll conclude it here. Have a good week. Pay attention tomorrow to get a release date. Early showing. Three from Hell. We're out.
I'm things no one knows. We're going to die.